Good morning, Grow Church. Oh, what a powerful morning. I just want to thank and praise God because Pastor Michael's communion, your word, Colin, spot on with what I'm talking about today. So praise God. I want to open in prayer. Father God, you are the Lord, Creator God, the Lord of Lords. Just want to thank you and praise you, Father God, for all that you do. Lord, as we come here and listen to what you, I believe you have given me to say, may your Holy Spirit guide your words from my mouth. May your Holy Spirit be upon people to hear what you want them to hear. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, Geordie, first slide, thanks. How's your habit? Strange question, right? Well, it's one I'm hoping will become clearer as I go on. Over the last few weeks, our Grow Together group have been looking at Proverbs 31. Now, one thing that became clear to me as we were doing this study was what the women knew what to do in regards to their daily walk with God. It was finding how to do it in their busy lives. As I thought about this, it made me wonder how many other people are struggling with the how. So today I'm going to use some of what I've learned in my degree as a developmental educator, and I've mixed it in with God's word, and hopefully to help you develop a how habit. Now, a developmental educator focuses on behaviour modification, and it helps people with special needs change inappropriate behaviours or to develop good behaviours. So I want to look specifically at establishing a good habit, a godly habit. And what habit is that? Well, that will depend on you. It could be reading your Bible daily. It could be praying. It could be studying the Word of God, worshipping God, or talking to people you meet about Jesus. The habit is what you believe God wants you to work on in your walk with Him. You might be thinking, well, it don't really sound much like habits. Well, what does a habit actually mean? So can I have the next slide? Thanks, Geordie. A habit is described in dictionary.com as all of that. English is such fun. Lots of meanings up there. It also means a long, loose garment worn by a member of a religious order, but we're not talking about that today. I want us to focus on that first meaning up there. An acquired behaviour pattern regularly followed until it becomes almost involuntary. Do we have good Christian habits, or are our worldly habits louder and overtake the habits we should have as a Christian? Are our habits the acceptable habits of God? Now, I recently watched a clip on YouTube. It was actually about tithing, but something struck me. We have 24 hours in a day, and yet do we give God 10% of our time? 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. What do we do with God's time? Have a next slide, thanks, Geordie. Now, statistics up there show that we are increasingly spending time on social media, which I thought was interesting to know. So is our habit of checking social media taking away time we should be spending with God? Especially if you look up there, the hours, a couple of hours a day, that's. When researching for this sermon, I found out a lot of Christian people seem to be interested with habits. There's books, YouTube clips, sites, you name it, and it's out there. You can choose between 5, 7, or 10 different ways of breaking bad habits. 7 habits of Jesus. 5 godly habits everyone should have. Bible studying habits. Prayer habits. It's a habit minefield. But what does the Bible say about habits? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically speak of habits. If you do a word search, you'll find it twice. Balaam's donkey having his moment in Numbers 22. And actually, Michael mentioned it today about not neglecting meeting together in Hebrews 10. However, there are many meanings rather than the actual word. We all have habits, whether good or bad. Even babies are born with a habit of already sucking their thumbs. And I noticed your little one today, Theodore. I'm like, yeah, his little one, not your little one. His little one over there. Finger in there. Ah, dear. As we understand, habits are something we usually do a lot without really thinking about them. And as I mentioned before, checking social media, some people bite their nails, or some people who can't seem to find where their dirty clothes go. Not looking at people in particular. But not all habits are bad, okay? We can have good habits like paying our tithes on time or first, paying your bills, cleaning the house, having a shower. Any teenage boys here? No, okay. Establishing a good habit can seem as difficult as giving up a bad habit. Ask anyone, or you know, if you've tried to eat healthy or start a good exercise regime, it's really hard. So how do we start? Where do we start? And what do we start with? Next one, thanks, Geordie. Orison Swett Marden said, "In the beginning of a habit, it is like an invisible thread, but every time we repeat the act, we strengthen the strand. Add to it another filament until it becomes a great cable that binds us irrevocably in thought and act." Thought and act. That's exactly the point of establishing a godly habit. So let's start with what God's word says. Now, our best example, of course, is Jesus. Did he have a habit? Yes. It was to be alone in prayer with the Father. Thanks, Geordie. So Luke 3:21. "Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven opened up." Matthew 14:23. "After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone." Mark 6:46. "After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray." Luke 6:12. "It was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." Mark 1:35. "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a scheduled place, and he was praying there." Luke 5:16. "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." But not when it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was about to happen, what did he do? Matthew 26:36. "And then when he came to them to a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" Not just once, but three times. Matthew 26:44. "And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more." His habit was so established, it was infectious. Luke 1:11. "It happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" His habit was so established, so known, so a part of him. Next slide, thanks, Geordie. Hebrews 5:7, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission." What about our habits? Well, I think the best scripture about us having godly habits is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which says, next slide. Well, it doesn't say next slide, Geordie, but next slide, thanks. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Is that possible? Well, yes, if it's a habit. So if you read the account of Paul and Silas in jail, Acts 16:16-40. If this is God's will for us to have a habit of always rejoicing, always praying and giving thanks, always, then how do we do that? How do we start a habit? By renewing our minds. Next slide, thanks, Geordie. Romans 12:1-2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. God wants us not to conform to the world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewal of your minds. It starts in your minds, your thoughts. We need to change the way we think, the way we approach things, the way we do things. It starts with the thoughts. God wouldn't tell us to renew our minds if we didn't need to or couldn't. We can change, but it usually takes a lot of practice and persistence. Even with the help of his sovereignty, we still have work, and we still have to work hard because we're humans and we have faults. So how should our thoughts be? Next slide. Thanks, Geordie. Well, Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling and arguing. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought we are to make obedient to Christ, renewing our minds and not grumbling or arguing. Easy, right? Yeah, not really, no. Just like trying to eat healthy or get a good exercise routine happening, it can be hard to establish. Oh, you might start off with good intentions, but actually turn what you're doing into a habit, it must be repeated constantly. And that's where many people falter. They get tired, they get distracted, or they just give up. How many times have you heard or even said, I'll start that on Monday, January the 1st. Well, it's always full of good intentions to develop new and better habits. But once a habit is established, it becomes a part of you. Just like breathing, you don't even know that you're doing it. How many of us try to establish good habits when it comes to God? Reading or studying the Word every day, spending a quiet time alone with God, praying for others. How many of us think, yeah, I want to do that, but don't? How many of us do some of these things sometimes, but how many of us have actually made them a habit? Do we do them daily without thinking about it, just like breathing? Or are we still battling? Chances are most of us are still battling. Why? Next slide, thanks, Geordie. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Not only do we have to deal with our own humanity, sinful nature and bad habits, but we are also fighting against the spiritual forces. They don't want us to establish anything that's going to draw us closer to God. Now, last week, I've got here about last week, but even this week it's been pretty powerful. But last week, Dan spoke in his communion about running the race and not giving up. Colin, you gave a good word last week, and again this week. But last week you gave a word that we're all soldiers. And Sponny, last week your sermon was really passionately delivered. It was brilliant. And it was about the Great Commission and going out to the lost in the love of God. How can we do this? How can we prepare and ready ourselves for the battle that we are in? Like soldiers who train daily and prepare for battle, we are to use the tool of habit to prepare and sharpen our spiritual weapons, keep them well serviced by using them daily. What are our weapons? Well, the Bible has many of them. So here's just a few. Thanks, Geordie. Next one. Yep. Submission and resistance, which is in James 4:7. Captivities of thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Self-control and alert, 1 Peter 5:8-9. And of course, the full armour of God, which is truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God, in Ephesians 11:17. Through our daily habits, we can strengthen these spiritual weapons. How do we make our prayers and daily Bible readings and studies a habit that we can do? The world is so fast and encroaching on our time and space, it seems nearly impossible, especially if you have young families. Well, in the book The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, he states that scientists have discovered some interesting things regarding habits and the brain. Not only is change possible, but new habits change the pathways in the brain. And what the scientists also found interesting was that the old habits, their pathways still remain, but new bridges are formed over the old ones. And the key to these new pathways being established is by changing just one keystone habit, and that is important. He gave an example of a lady who had given up smoking. A series of events triggered her to want to break that habit, but what the scientists found was that when she just changed one keystone habit, it caused her brain to transform from the old pathways to the new pathways. So this change led to the next habit, and like a link in a chain, a new and healthy habits were established. She went from a heavy smoker to someone that actually ran marathons. Making that one keystone change is vital. But what is a keystone habit? Well, according to Charles, some habits are more important than others and they are stronger. So these have the power to change other habits in your life. We all have keystone habits. After the service today, we're all going to go out there, make our cup of tea or coffee, whatever we make, make it a certain way. We're going to sit in a certain seat, talk with the same people we do every week. That's a habit. We even sit in the same seats every week. It's a habit. One group, though, changed a keystone habit and made the after-service group to discuss God's word of the service. They used their keystone habit of what they were doing after the service and just changed one habit. So instead of talking about life, the universe, and everything, they just started discussing things of the sermon, which led them to staying later, which led into becoming an after-church discussion group. Links in a chain. Doesn't have to be difficult. But I do know there are many people here today who struggle to read the word and spend time with God daily. Well, one person who struggled was Susanna Wesley. And Susanna had a difficult life and just made a small change, which helped immensely in her walk with God. So I want to read to you an excerpt written by Sharon Glasgow called Susanna Wesley's Prayer Apron. Next slide, thanks, Jordy. A devastated home isn't always apparent on first impression, is it? Susanna Wesley was married to a preacher. They had 10 children, of which 2 grew up to bring millions of souls to Christ. And that would be John and Charles Wesley. It's a powerful story if you stop there, isn't it? But behind the door, of her home, hopeless conditions were the norm. She married a man who couldn't manage money. They disagreed on everything, from money to politics. They had 19 children, All except 10 died in infancy. Sam, her husband, left to raise the children alone for long periods of time. This was sometimes over something as simple as an argument. One of their children was crippled. Another couldn't talk until he was nearly 6 years old. Susanna herself was desperately sick most of her life. There was no money for food or anything. Debt plagued them. Sam was once thrown into a debtor's prison because their debt was so high, which doubled their problems. Twice, the homes they lived in were burned to the ground, losing everything they owned. It was assumed that their church members did it because they were mad at what Sam preached in the pulpit. Someone slit their cow's udders so they wouldn't have milk, killed their dog, and burned their flax field. When Susanna was young, she promised the Lord that for every hour she spent in entertainment, she would give to him in prayer and in the word. Taking care of the house and raising so many kids made this commitment nearly impossible to fulfill. She had no time for entertainment or long hours in prayer. She worked the gardens, milked the cow, schooled the children, and managed the entire house herself. So she decided instead to give the Lord 2 hours a day in prayer. She struggled to find a secret place to get away with him. So she advised her children that when they saw her with her apron over her head, that meant she was in prayer and couldn't be disturbed. She was devoted to her walk with Christ, praying for her children and knowledge in the Word, no matter how hard life was. One of her daughters got pregnant out of wedlock, and the man never married her. She was devastated, yet remained steadfast in prayer for her daughter. In the end, she knew that one day her hard life would be over and she alone would stand before the throne of God and give an account of how she lived her life. How can the best mum, wife, friend, person in the world still have untold hardships? We need to take Susanna's example, flip our apron over our head and pray in the middle of it all. That one small thing, flipping her apron, that one small change led to a big difference in the life of her and her children. A few weeks ago, James preached on the legacy, what legacy we are leaving our children. And what an amazing legacy Susanna Wesley left her children, and not only her children, but through two of them, you know, thousands of souls were saved. How's your habit? What habit do you want to improve for God, and what can you do to improve it? Next slide, thanks Geordie. Well, I just want to look at some ideas: reading your Bible, praying and worship. The one in the middle, it's got little earphones in it, so you can listen to it. So how can you make sure you're reading your Bible every day, worshiping or praying more? You link it to an established habit, an established behaviour as an anchor point, a place to start, but it's important to connect it to something that you are already doing. So let's say your morning routine, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you put on the kettle, you make a cuppa, have a coffee, and while you're having your coffee, you scroll through Facebook or some social network. Just a quick look before the day starts. Okay. So now you're going to change the scrolling of Facebook to reading God's Word. This could either be the Word of the Day, because we have heaps of them out there, or YouVersion on your phone or some app. So if you're going to read something external, though, it's important that you put that external thing in your pathway. So you either put it with your phone or with the kettle. It's really important that you put it in your pathway so you can keep it in your normal what you normally do. So it is important that you do the small changes with everything else, with the others. Some other ideas: you could be listening to the Bible or worship songs in the car while doing the dishes or the laundry. Do a daily devotional, as I said, on your phone in the morning as soon as you wake up, or just before you go to sleep. Put it in with those routines. By making a conscious decision tethered to a regular routine, you'll begin to start the change. If you want to pray more, you can connect your phone, and every time you pick up your phone, all right, you can tell yourself, before I scroll today, I'll pray. Okay? Or something like that. Make the connection of picking up your phone and praying. Think you're calling God. Yes, you'll have moments of forgetting, moments of lapse, but keep it tethered to something you're already doing, something that is established. And this habit, this is going to help establish the habit quicker and make the neural pathway stronger. It is stated on average, okay, now this is just on average, it takes a new behaviour 66 days to become automatic. But don't panic, okay? So don't panic. 66 days, that's a long day, that's a long time. It can take as little as 18 days, depending on the behaviour and if it's attached to an established behavioural pattern, okay? And this is just to make it automatic. So take one day at a time, one moment at a time. Celebrate each achievement. Positive reinforcement works the best. We are really good at telling ourselves we can't, and we know the enemy is trying to throw things in to stop us. So if it doesn't happen when you're planned, the next time you have your coffee, do it then. Next time you pick up your phone, pray. If you miss a day, don't put yourselves down. Pray and ask God to help. God will help you and will ensure your new habit will become a good lifelong one. We need to stop telling ourselves we can't. Stop making excuses and face the truth and claim God's power. Every time we have that negative thought, we give it to God. And like I keep telling my Grow Together group, when the devil gives you a negative word, tell him to go talk to Jesus. Go tell Jesus that. I don't want to hear it. Stop buying into negative thoughts. They are bad habits and not of God. If you keep thinking those negative can't change thoughts, then that's what will happen. Joshua, you love watching Canada's Worst Driver. Yes, you do. And they tell the drivers, look where you want to go, not what you want to avoid. And that's exactly what we have to do. Look at the habit we want, not the excuse. You can want to change or you don't. But be honest with yourselves. If you really want, then you'll find a way, no matter how small. It doesn't matter. Just take that step. For us to change and to establish good habits, it starts in our minds. What is your mind focused on? Can the band please come up? Thank you. Last slide, thanks, Geordie. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Focus on God, your love for Him. And get rid of those bad habits and get some new godly ones. Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Godly or worldly, how is your habit? Thank you.